Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be an episode of the Sword of the Spirit podcast that I think is going to be memorable. We're joined by an ex-CIA whistleblower. Kevin Shipp will be here right after this. Censor, that's right. They want to censor Bible-believing Christians. They want to censor anybody who is right of center, practically. Welcome to the show, everyone. Benjamin Naim here with all of you live tonight, as usual, Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You're right where you should be listening to the Sword of the Spirit podcast, not just on YouTube at youtube.com/BenTheBaptist, where the live stream airs every Monday at night at 9 Eastern, but also on the various other podcast platforms that the show was uploaded to, including Apple Podcasts and the Stitcher Radio app. As I said prior to the intro, it's going to be a very special edition of the broadcast tonight as we're joined by ex-CIA whistleblower Kevin Shipp, who took part in an interview for our upcoming documentary, Censored, The War on Free Speech. And folks, right now I want to introduce the man himself. I'm also joined by Brother Peter Reddick. We'll get to him in a moment. But first of all, the ex-CIA whistleblower himself, Kevin Shipp, he was kind enough to join us tonight for this podcast. I really appreciate it. Kevin Shipp, the floor is yours now. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Ben. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on today, sir. And also with us is the special guest co-host, is what we're calling him for tonight. Brother Peter Reddick is here. Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And yourself?
Doing great. It's obviously an interesting show that we have on deck for the people tonight. I've been looking forward to it all week as we'll be talking to Kevin Shipp about a number of issues. But I think, Peter, it would be best if we started with you. Kevin, we're going to be hitting you with questions. Peter will ask questions. I will ask questions. We're intrigued to get your perspective on censorship, the shadow government, and other topics tonight as well. And we do really appreciate your time. Peter, why don't you start things off and get this show on the road for us here?
Well, thanks a lot. Like you said, we are doing this special broadcast for the film Censored, War on Free Speech. This has been a very interesting and very intriguing project to work on, and it's been a blessing to do so as well. So I'm going to start this off by Mr. Shipp. I'm going to ask you if you can introduce yourself, give a brief history of who you are and in your background.
Yeah. Hi, Peter. It's good to talk to you. I like to refer to myself as a recovering CIA officer. Took me a few years to get that stuff out of my head. But while I was there, I was a protective agent on the staff of the director of the CIA, posted in his home, traveling with him, things like that. I was a counterintelligence officer in the counterespionage group. We were searching for moles inside the CIA. It was pretty clear that someone was giving information to the Soviets, and eventually we found that person. I was engaged in overseas human collection, human intelligence in countries that were plagued with terrorism. I was also the assistant team leader on an anti-terrorism assault team deployed to embassies that were being targeted by terrorists. So I had several different things that I did with the agency.
Can you talk about some of the books you've written?
Sure. First book I wrote was In From the Cold, CIA Secrecy and Operations. And that was interesting because that was my first cut at getting a book through the CIA and their censors, which is a challenge, I should say, at the very least. Second book was... Well, my favorite of the two is From the Company of Shadows, and I get into how the government, specifically the CIA, abuses secrecy to cover up criminal activity. Some of the things I have in there operations are good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But I address the CIA's abuse of secrecy to cover up unconstitutional and sometimes criminal things that it's involved in.
Certainly some interesting stuff.
Outstanding.
There. Outstanding. Peter, before you go, I just want to remind people, if you're just tuning in, we're here with Kevin Shipp to talk about a multitude of things, from censorship to the shadow government and other topics as well. So make sure you blast this link out to all your friends on social media, Facebook, Twitter, wherever they might be. Make sure you share this podcast with them, because there's going to be some valuable information that we cover tonight. Peter, go ahead.
All right. Mr. Shipp, I'm honest, you know, given current events that have been transpiring through the news lately, can you give a overview of what it means to be a whistleblower and how important it really is?
Yeah, sure, Peter. Thank you. A whistleblower, a true whistleblower, is someone that sees something criminal or unconstitutional or some kind of fraud engaged in by an agency of the federal government. And that person, if they're a true whistleblower, come out in true name, in their full name, and they blow the whistle on that activity publicly, and usually at great personal risk to do so. That is a true whistleblower. These whistleblowers we're seeing recently, these White House whistleblowers, are fakes. They're frauds. They're not whistleblowers. They're leakers. And somewhat cowardly in that they're hiding their identities in secrets. In secret, they won't come forward and reveal who they are. And their claims about this transcript regarding the president's conversation with Ukraine are completely baseless. They're false accusations. The transcript has been released. There is nothing there that these whistleblowers can add to that. This is essentially a second deep state shadow government coup to try to impeach the president. Because, frankly, the shadow government is terrified of what he's doing, the investigations that Barr and Durham are doing, and some of the dismantling that's going on in Washington, D.C.
Now, what are some whistleblowers you would point to that are legitimate, if you could name a few?
Well, there'd be Bill Binney, who came out and blew the whistle on the NSA. The NSA was wasting a lot of money on a program called Trailblazer, and it was collecting information on Americans in a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Bill Binney came out and blew the whistle that there was a program that they developed, Thin Thread, that was a lot less expensive and didn't collect Americans' data. His home was raided. He was put at gunpoint. And now Bill is out talking about that as much as he can. That's an example of true. One that I have high regard for was Thomas Drake. Thomas Drake is an NSA whistleblower who came out and blew the whistle on the NSA domestic surveillance program Trailblazer, and also on Thin Thread, which would have been a good replacement. Tom Drake came out. Tom risked everything. He lost his job. He has to work at, I'm not going to say where he works now, but he still has to work. I apparently lost his benefits and everything else, and he took a really huge hit for doing that. They tried to hit him with the espionage statute, put him in prison for 20 years. He got a good attorney and was able to get off with just a misdemeanor. So Thomas Drake, I think, is clearly one of the true whistleblowers.
Now, right, what are some of the things that whistleblowers can do to protect themselves?
Well, not a whole lot. That's why these two rascals that claim to be whistleblowers are not, in that they're not taking any risk. I can tell you, I have a speech out there on where are the whistleblowers, and I get into what the government does to whistleblowers, and I get into the Whistleblower Protection Act and what a sham that is. But essentially, the government, the CIA, the NSA specifically, and the FBI have a specific set of procedures. They've been using them for decades. They've used them on hundreds of whistleblowers, where they systematically destroy that person, destroy that person's career. And if they have the nerve to keep going with blowing the whistle, then they'll destroy their family, their finances, and essentially try to end everything for them. So the whistleblowers that do try to come out are pretty much systematically destroyed almost 100% of the time through this procedure.
Well, Kevin Shipp, I have to ask this question. You know, you're talking about whistleblowers. You're talking about people unearthing the truth about what's really going on. I think that the average American seems to be clueless, I would think, to the shadow government that you're talking about, and the New World Order, and some of these shadowy figures who have been influencing people in Washington. Now, when it comes to the very top of this power structure, Mr. Shipp, and this is something that I've always been interested to get the perspective of from somebody such as yourself with your credentials, but you know, a lot of people would point to, well, tell me who specifically we're talking about here. What group are we talking about here? Some people would, you know, people theorize, oh, it's just all the Jews, or it's just, you know, it's this group, it's that group. You know, who should we be looking for? Who should we be focused on when it comes to this, quote, shadow government? Is it just a shadow government? Are they globalists? I mean, do you have an answer for that?
That's a great question, because I know people, they ask that a lot. Remember that movie, Follow the Money, Jerry? You follow the money, and this all leads back to globalism, the elimination of U.S. sovereignty. It all ties back into Wall Street. The CIA has been doing Wall Street's bidding since its inception, and that is engaging in coups in countries where we need the oil and gas, frankly. And that's why we're seeing what's going on in Syria, because there's a very important gas pipeline that goes through there, and on and on and on it goes. So that's the global structure. There are the global elites that are controlling a lot of this in terms of the global financial system, the International Monetary Fund and others. Of course, you got the Rockefellers and the Morgans, and they've been at this for decades. In terms of our government, a lot of people are talking about the deep state, and that's great. Finally, I started out doing this by myself, and it wasn't a very pleasant experience standing up against this monster alone. Now people are finally talking about the deep state. It's out there in plain view. However, I make the distinction between the shadow government and the deep state. I come, of course, from the shadow government, and I was a program manager for a military industrial complex organization, so the deep state also. But the shadow government is that part of our government, the secret agencies of our government. That would be the CIA, the NSA, and certain parts of the FBI. And they have the power, unbridled power of secrecy. They control the Congress. They control the presidency, as we're seeing now. They're trying to attack a sitting president. They control the judiciary that rubber stamps their decisions using the state secrets privilege, for example, which shuts down all scrutiny of the CIA and the NSA. So the shadow government runs, I call it the shadow government because in the shadows, it literally runs our government and controls Congress, the president, and the judiciary. Then you have the deep state, which essentially is the military-industrial complex, which is huge, it's massive, it's full of unelected officials that use our tax dollars to start wars and covert operations. It's tied into the lobbyists in Washington, D.C. Saudi Arabia might as well have a senator and a congressman. It's so well entrenched. That would be the deep state. Now that the shadow government controls the deep state through its power of secrecy, and most of these military industrial contractors that have any sort of engagement in foreign countries, they are placed under secrecy agreements by the CIA, from secretaries to CEOs, and the CIA completely controls Lockheed Martin, for example. The CIA completely controls Lockheed Martin through secret contracts, and so the shadow government essentially has control over the deep state.
Nice. So we've talked about the deep state and stuff like that. My question is, with everything that we've heard over the past couple of months, with events like coming to light, like with Jeffrey Epstein and others, is there a spiritual connection to all this?
My goodness gracious. You know, I've traveled around the world to probably some 30 countries, and I've done operations in a lot of different places, good, bad, and ugly. I've dealt with a lot of things, and I can tell you there is a very dark, twisted spiritual world out there that operates in these people that have no morals. They're narcissists. They're evil in what they do. And frankly, the conclusion became pretty clear to me is Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And that sums up what I have seen within the CIA and working with some other foreign intelligence services. I work with the FBI and State Department. And this is a spiritual war. But human beings on their own don't do things this dark and despicable. As we all know now, and our government has been paying for this, Planned Parenthood has been aborting babies and selling their parts for money. Some of them are still alive. Now, what kind animals don't even do that to their young? That's the spiritual side of things I'm talking about. The CIA engages in operations where hundreds, sometimes thousands of innocent people are killed, and they call it collateral damage and don't even blink an eye. So this whole system is dark and it's twisted. Billions of dollars flow under the surface where people don't see them in these espionage events that just about every country engages in against each other. And it's just a dark world.
You want to talk about a dark world? I know it's been a few years now, but when WikiLeaks released those emails from John Podesta and some other people affiliated with the Clinton campaign and things like that, some of the words they were using allegedly had, they were code words for some just disgusting perversion and filth. And look, I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that, but to me, when we look at, for example, Hollywood, and we look at some of these political elites, and you brought up what the Bible tells us there about spiritual wickedness in high places, I think, Kevin Shipp, that it's even worse perhaps than even people who study this stuff. I think it's even worse than we could fathom. What do you make of this? You know, WikiLeaks releasing these emails, talking about pizza and all the rest of it. Is that something, you know, is that giving us a little glimpse of what's really going on?
Well, people need to understand and remember that those emails were never proven wrong. Those were accurate emails from Podesta. And yes, there's child pornography and sacrifice, the covert terms all through those emails. Now, they can go with this guy that went in and supposedly shot up the pizza parlor. My understanding is he shot a few rounds into the floor. Then he disappeared, never to be heard from again. The fact is, Podesta's emails were accurate and they were true. And
that's right.
They contained code information for child abuse. And that's why the mainstream media dropped it. They're real. Those terms are in there. And so they went after all the people that were exposing Pizzagate conspiracy theorists. Oh, they're going to sue this person. They're going to sue that person. But in fact, those emails were legitimate. They're real.
And anybody can look it up. Peter, we'll go to you in a minute here. But anybody could just Google these emails. You could read them for yourself. You've got John Podesta talking about cheese pizza, totally out of context, using obvious code words to describe something so sick and perverted and disgusting and degenerate. And I think it just gives us a glimpse at how reprobate and how awful these people truly are. And
yeah.
You talk about that particular incident with that comic ping pong situation there. A lone gunman, we don't know who he is, never to be heard from again, like you mentioned. He goes and he does whatever he does. And then all of a sudden, that enables people who then question that event to be smeared and branded as crazy,
right,
kooky conspiracies because that one guy did whatever he did. And it basically shut down all the dialogue on that particular issue just like that.
That's right, Ben. It's like a successful op to shut everybody up. And I always look for the red flags. You know, I learned that in counterintelligence, I guess. I'm still getting some of that out of me. But I always look for the red flags and things. And the red flags here are, they said this guy went in and shot up the place, putting people's lives in danger. He went in there and shot into the floor, first of all. Second of all, then they abduct him and he disappears. Red flag. You never hear from the guy again. That should have been big news. It wasn't. It was covered up. So something's going on there that's unsavory, and there's no doubt about it, this dark, disgusting, and satanic things that these people are involved in. You have to understand, it goes all the way back to General Michael Aquino, who was an NSA official and the satanic priest of the Temple of Set while he was working for the government. These Satanists, in their minds, don't believe they're worshiping a red guy with horns and a pitchfork. The way they put it, it really is the way Satan put it himself when he fell, is no, we're not worshiping the devil. This is a higher form of intelligence. This is just a smarter way of tapping into the human mind and the power of the human mind. And so they explain away Satanism and all these disgusting acts against children and animals. They explain it away because they're reaching a higher level of energy. And we both know what that higher level of energy is. It's demonic, and right, it's Satanism in its most disgusting form.
That's right. It is totally demonic. Peter?
All right. Well, you're right. Everything, this world has become so disgusting. you know, what I would say it's, I can't even comprehend how disgusting this world has gotten. So, well, one question I want to do as a follow-up is, with all this pedophilia now coming into light, I mean, why isn't anything being done about it?
Yeah, you know, that's the question we're all asking. Why aren't these people being frog marched into prison? You know, I know it's past time for that, but you have to understand, I think you guys probably do, that Jeffrey Epstein had a huge blackmail operation, and the evidence is pretty clear that he was tied into Israeli Mossad intelligence in connection with the CIA, and they were engaging in blackmail for high-level officials. Bill Clinton, for example. And a lot of these people have got dirty files on them that Epstein had compiled. He had secret cameras all through his house where these people were getting these massages by underage girls. He was getting billions of dollars from nowhere that people couldn't account for where he was getting this money. It was a huge intelligence blackmail operation, the net of which is so expansive that they still will not release the black book and everybody who is in it. A lot of it's blacked out, and there are some people that we have seen, but not even the tip of the iceberg. And it ties into the satanic pedophile elite. It goes far beyond the borders of the United States. It's international, and it is so bad. I predicted this on USA Watchdog a month before it happened, that the deep state would kill Jeffrey Epstein. It had to, because too many high-level officials in the deep state were engaged in this child abuse. And they had to get rid of him because it was all about to come out. Now, was he smuggled away and is living on our land? No, he was. They murdered him. They killed him. And we all know all the suspicious events involved in that, which are beyond ridiculous. But this this child trafficking, satanic sexual abuse ring, it's international. As a matter of fact, it makes more money than the drug trade does. And it involves very high level officials in our government, the British government and others.
And the problem is we bring it back to the original reason why you're even here, which is your participation in the documentary that we'll be coming out with next year, which is Censored, The War on Free Speech. And you were kind enough to participate in an interview with Peter Reddick for that film. And we talked, and you know, obviously he talks about censorship, but it seems like dialoguing about things like this. We brought up the WikiLeaks. We brought up, quote-unquote, Pizzagate. We're bringing up the pedophile elite. We're bringing up the New World Order, the shadow government. We're bringing up concepts that have been shut down and by the corporate media. And we're doing it on a platform that right now has made it more difficult than ever for you to have an opinion that doesn't go along with the sanitized narrative. My question to you is this. How dangerous is this information for the elite? And do you think that's the reason why they're so desperate to shut down alternative media?
Oh, it's damning for the elite. If this is to come out, what they've been doing, you all know a little bit about the spirit cooking and eating human body cakes and all of that craziness. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're talking actual child abuse. And I think that's indicative all through the Podesta emails. Sick, sick things. And if this was to come out, of course, people would go to prison for a long, long time. However, these people are extremely wealthy, extremely powerful, and extremely connected. And that's why no one has got them yet, because they're essentially pulling the strings of this whole system. And it is right now the only freedom of the press we have left, and that's why I go on these shows, is the alternative media, because the mainstream press is dead. It's gone. It's ruled by the elite, the board of directors who tell the journalists what not to publish, and it's anti-Christian, anti-Christ. It goes after Christians specifically as its number one enemy all the time. All we have left is alternative news. That's it. And by the grace of God, some outlets are doing a pretty good job.
Now, why do you believe that they are targeting Christianity? Why are they so afraid of Christianity?
Another great question. I call it Target C3. And isn't it interesting that the progressives, which essentially are Marxists, and they want the end of the Constitution, or at least for it to be changed. They think the founding fathers were bigoted white men and the founding principles of America need to be done away with. But isn't it interesting that the progressive movement and Islam joined together to attack one thing, and I call it personally C3, The Constitution, first of all, they want to eradicate that. The culture, they want to destroy the traditional American culture. And third is Christianity. Why do they hate Christianity so much? It is the only one, and the Bible is the only one that exposes and turns the light on what they're doing for what it is. Bold face, you can look at Romans chapter 1, for example, right out there for everybody to see. And so I call it the gay mafia, and the gay mafia largely, I'm not knocking gay Americans who want their privacy. The gay mafia is trying to shut Christianity down. They attack Chick-fil-A, as we have all seen. They throw lawsuits at cake bakers on purpose, intentionally. Their goal is, and they have to shut down and censor Christianity because it exposes what they're doing. Very similar to the Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union was silencing dissident groups, they put most of them in the gulag, and that pretty much took care of it. But a Soviet official made the statement, we can control just about everybody in this population except for the Christians. We just can't control them because they think they answer to a higher authority. And that sums it up even today. Christians believe in a higher authority. They have their own morals, their own ethics. Real Christians can't be scared by a government or by lawfare or by the gay mafia or anybody else. And the scriptures, as I mentioned earlier, shed light on the depravity of what these people are doing.
I've talked about this before, but when you remove your opposition's ability to even have speech, in my mind, that completely discredits your position. It completely discredits your side because it exposes the fact that you're incapable of engaging in a structured discussion. You know what?
That's right.
Kevin
sure.
Shipp, if you and I were to sit down for long enough, I'm sure we would find things to disagree on. But you know what? The common denominator between the two of us is we believe in speech. I believe
right.
in your right to offer your opinion. When
right.
the opposition, though, tries to take away our speech, and I guarantee you that this live stream is at a pretty significant risk of getting taken down as soon as it's over because of what we talked about moments ago and what we probably will touch on for the remainder of the program. But my question is this, when they delete our Facebook accounts, when they delete our Twitter accounts, when they destroy the YouTube channel or delete the YouTube channels, I should say, and try as hard as they can to muzzle people who, as I said earlier, don't go along with the sanitized corporate media narrative, doesn't that, in your mind, expose the fact that they don't have enough confidence in their worldview to engage in a structured discussion?
Well, I agree, and they know it. I mean, this isn't a subconscious thing with them. They know it. They know exactly what they're doing, and they've got a shutdown speech that exposes, as I said earlier, that exposes what they're doing. And you're so right. In the context of free speech, which is sacrosanct in our Constitution, as far as that document goes, the ability to disagree, the ability to strongly disagree even, is precious. And for two people to have opposing opinions, but be able to put those opinions out in the public arena, that's what it is all about. And that's what they're doing, is they are silencing speech. This is chilling. This is the beginning. People used to talk about the New World Order as a conspiracy theory. Now everybody's talking about the global order, the New World Order, because it's right there in front of all of our faces. But if for a good example is the United Nations is passing a resolution to criminalize all speech against Islam. So if a pastor of a church gets up and teaches that Islam is against Christ or teaches things counter to the Bible, that's criminal speech. That pastor, that person could be put in jail for that. I think it's happened in other countries like Sweden. That's what they're doing. They're trying to silence speech like that because it essentially is the one thing that exposes them. We're seeing that right now. YouTube messes with me all the time with algorithms. I've gone to patreon.com simply because of that. They take off my thumbnails. They demonetize my videos. They remove videos. It's like a game we have going on. So I've got my own channel on Patreon now to stop that. But that's what they're doing. And they even come out and admit that they're doing it. And as you know, some leakers have come out and stated that they plan on having an effect on the 2020 elections and making sure that Donald Trump doesn't get reelected. This is insane. This is crazy stuff. But this is what happens when a society departs from the teachings of Scripture, which are bridles on human behavior. When a society throws God out of its culture and its education and its government, then that society is going to degrade. People are going to degrade, and tyranny is going to come in every single time.
What are some things that people can do to protect themselves from having their rights taken away?
Number one, and I say this as a former CI officer, and I mean it, number one, pray and intercede for your protection, the protection of churches, and while the Lord tarries, the protection of our country. Number one, pray. Number two, do not fear them. That's the problem we've had with Christians up until now and pastors of churches. They fear having a lawsuit. They fear offending their congregation, and they leave and take their tithes with them. That's got to stop. Christians, especially in ministry, have got to have the courage, and true courage comes from faith because you believe in a God who will protect you and you have no fear. But churches and Christians have got to come out and they've got to expose this stuff. It takes risk, and I know that all too well. It takes risk, but it's always worth it in the end. And every great movement in this country, starting with the Declaration of Independence, has involved risk and was kicked off successfully by people who were willing to take that risk. And that's where we're at right now.
Well, folks, we said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. If you just tuned in, we're here with Kevin Shipp, and he's offering us some information about the true agenda, what's really going on behind the scenes, whether it's the New World Order or the deep state, the agenda for a one-world government. And there was something you said that I think really hit home with me, and it's going to hit home with our audience. Obviously, this is a Christian show. When you talked about why they hate the Bible so much, why do they hate Christianity so much? And it's because the Word of God sheds light on what they're trying to do. Anybody who's honest right. with what Revelation chapter 13 is talking about, anybody who's honest with what Jesus was attempting to teach at the Olivet Discourse, anybody who's honest with the book of Daniel, anyone who's honest with end times Bible prophecy is going to recognize that God does warn us that there is coming a day in which there's going to be a one world government, one world religion, one world monetary system. And I think that's the reason why there is such a very strong push to ban the Bible. Do you see a day yes. coming where it actually is illegal to own a Bible, where it's illegal to preach the word? You talked about pastors being pressured into not preaching against Islam. Is that a realistic scenario in your mind of it, you know, a law being passed one day to where preaching the word is banned?
Absolutely, Ben. They're doing it in California. California's trying to pass a law making the Bible illegal in any sort of public forum. It's happening now. And I promise you, and you can, for the first time, we can see this in plain view. The Bible will be outlawed, or any speech in the Bible that's contrary to the, let's just call it the progressive agenda, progressive movement. And you know what that umbrella entails. But yes, the Bible will be made illegal. And right now we are seeing revelations come out about the one world economic system and algorithms that will control what people buy or sell. I have never in 30 years since I've been watching this stuff, never seen it more clear how it could be done, where people are given an algorithm, a number, and without that algorithm, that number or that mark, they will not be able to buy or sell. We are right on the verge of that. Some companies, their employees are taking chips in their right hands right now, and it's becoming accepted. The only thing that's holding that back is the church, because the church is blowing whistles saying, no, 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 this is the mark of the beast. Well, once Christians are silenced, everybody else, like lemmings, are going to think, are going to buy what they're selling. Hey, this is secure. No one can break into your bank account. It'll make your building secure against thieves and people trying to steal your information. So this is a good thing, and people are going to take it. That's why on my Twitter page all the time, I say over and over and over, I lay this out. Don't take the number. Don't take the mark. No matter what it costs you, don't do it.
Now, is there, okay, are they going to need to take away people, strip people of their rights in order to do, you know, in order for people to take the mark, or are people going to do it willingly?
Good. People will do it willingly in mass. Masses of people will do it willingly. The only people, it's just, Peter, it's like down through history. There were only a few Christians were willing to stand up and be martyred. While the rest of them just kind of went and hid, or the majority, for example, the Roman Empire, the majority just went with the Roman Empire and complied, and only a few stood up and said, no, we serve no God but the Lord God and Jesus Christ. So in mass, people are going to take the mark. The majority of people will take it. The ones who don't take it are going to have to make a personal sacrifice, and that means they're not going to be able to go to the store and buy anything right now. Amazon has instituted a system. I don't know if you guys know this, but since they acquired Whole Food Markets, you can now go into a Whole Food Market and you can scan your face to pay for your items right there at the checkout stand. And the proposition there is to have a code either in the person's hand or their face. Does that ring a bell? It should, because that's Revelation 13 spelled out right there in black and white. So most of the people will take the mark. The only ones who won't are the ones who are true believers and Christians and are willing to take the risk of not being able to feed their families, for example.
Well, what will come first will be the eradication of cash, I would think. And I've always linked the Federal Reserve to the Mark of the Beast system, in the sense that I do think that the Federal Reserve will play a huge role. Could you talk about that a little bit? Because this shadowy Fed that nobody knows who, I mean, it's private, right? We don't know who's really running it, manipulates our economy. It's devalued our currency. How do you see the Fed playing a role in this coming system that we know, according to what the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 13, will come to pass one day?
Yeah, well, it's neither federal and it has no reserves. I mean, even the name is deception.
That's right.
The Federal Reserve is made up of foreign banks. Foreign banks and their identities, the board of directors' identities are secret. The identities of the banks that they are representing is secret. Their minutes are secret. The amount of money that they used to bail out in the 2008 crisis was secret. Everything they do is secret, and they are not, although they try to portray themselves as being so, they are not a part or a branch of the United States government. As you mentioned, they're a private entity. Right now, they're cranking out monopoly money to try to save the central banks. That is a very bad sign. So when things get bad and the dollar is devalued, there has been talk of the Federal Reserve itself going to a digital currency and tying itself in with special drawing rights, or SDRs, which are being issued by the International Monetary Fund right now. And it's a digital basket of currency that nations can go in and take this digital money out. That is the derivatives market in the stock market. It's numbers and digits. It's not backed up by anything of value, and the Federal Reserve is part of that.
That's right. And you know what? If you were to print money out of thin air and loan it to someone for a profit, you'd go to jail for counterfeiting.
Okay. You would.
So keep that in mind. Peter, do you have anything else you wanted to add?
Actually, yes, I do. Is there, in your professional opinion, is there a timeline that you think all this will take place in? I know we're seeing the implemented currently,
right,
but do you see all this taking place in a specific time frame?
Yeah. How much time do we have, you think?
Well, what I've learned, because I've tried to be a futurist for the last 40 years as an analyst, and what I've learned is usually you predict something in a number of years and it winds up being on the average twice that, at least in my experience. I would put a label on it. I would disagree with Occasional Cortex, Alexander AOC. She said the world's going to end in 12 years.
because of global climate change, right?
Right. Exactly right. But I would, just in my humble opinion, based on everything I've read, seen, looked at, I would say within a maximum of 20 years, there's going to be an economic crisis, an economic collapse that is going to spark civil unrest, essentially a civil war. There's going to, similar to South Africa, there's going to be roving bands of thugs killing people and breaking and taking their things. That's going to happen. My biggest concern is Islamic countries now have nuclear weapons. And India and Pakistan are at each other's throats right now. They both have the bomb, and an Islamic government, for example, Iran, will use it if they have to. And Israel will use theirs if they have to. So one of my concerns is a nuclear conflict that'll spread through the world. If you remember, I think it was in the Book of Revelation, John said when the earth was being destroyed, he said the sky was rolled up like a scroll. Do you remember that? If you look at a nuclear blast from underneath, the entire mushroom cloud is enfolding into itself like a scroll. But anyway, I think it's because of the basic philosophy of countries like Iran, they believe in personal destruction. In other words, and this is in my book From the Company of Shadows, Islam teaches that they have a Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I. It's their version of a Messiah. And their Mahdi can be ushered in more quickly if they engage in world violence and world chaos. Ahmadinejad, the former president of Iran, even came out and said that himself, that he was God's prophet to cause chaos and violence in the world, to usher in the Mahdi. So that's very serious. We I think the nuclear clock is just a couple minutes before midnight. I think, as I mentioned, we've got 20 years max. I think we're going to be looking at a financial crisis. I would say probably no more than 5 years. I've heard projections of even a year and a half, but I'd say some around 5 years, we're going to see some decline in the economy. None of this has anything to do with the environment. None of this has anything to do with climate change. But I think that the economic decline is going to be the spark that strikes all of this, and it starts to happen.
Kevin Shipp, we really appreciate your time tonight. Before we wrap it up, I just wanted to say that when it comes to Peter approaching you with the idea of being interviewed for Censored, War on Free Speech, censorship obviously plays a huge role in what is going to come and what's happening right now. The clampdown on speech, the clampdown on our ability to engage in a discussion with people, whether you agree with them or not, it's just getting worse and worse as the days go on. And my question to you is this, and this will be the final question before we wrap it up. Why did you say yes to Peter? Why did you decide you wanted to get involved in the project, in this documentary that's coming out? Why be interviewed by him for this film? Was there something in particular that intrigued you? Why'd you do it?
That's a great question, Ben. I did it because I think the only hope that we have left are Christians in the body of Christ. And I came from a pretty wild and crazy background. I was radically saved. And changed me quite a bit. I'm spending a lot of my time going before Christian audiences and turning down secular interviews because I think Christians are the only hope. And I think Jesus Christ is the only hope to change people's hearts. And it's the only hope there is. And so that's why I took up Peter on his offer, because I want this message to get out to Christians and other believers, because that, and I found that's the thread of all my followers. They're believers, they're Christians, they're patriots, they have courage. And so that's the audience that I want to give interviews for. And that's why I took Peter up on his offer.
And subsequently appeared on here as well. So we appreciate that.
Right, brother, yeah.
Brother Peter Reddick, anything else you wanted to say to our guest here before we let him go?
I just want to say thank you for doing what you do, coming forward and speaking out against all these, the scary world. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. It means a lot.
Kevin Shipp, if people are interested in purchasing your books or they want to know more about you, where can they go?
They can go to patreon.com/Kevin_Shipp, S-H-I-P-P, patreon.com/Kevin_Shipp. Every Thursday, I have a program where I talk about current events that the media won't touch. If they want a copy of my book, don't go to Amazon. You can get a signed copy at fortheloveoffreedom.net. That's .net. You can get a signed copy of the book, and you can see all the documents that the CIA tried to seal. I published them all, open for everybody to see. All those documents are on there. The cover-up is on there, what the CIA did, how they got away with it, how the government gets away with that sort of thing. So if they go to fortheloveoffreedom.net, they can get a signed copy of the book. They won't if they go to Amazon. And then they can catch me on my program, The Intelligence Assessment, every Thursday at 7 at patreon.com/Kevin_Shipp.
And folks, you heard what he said there. Jesus Christ is the only way out of this, which is why we have to keep winning souls, evangelizing, getting people saved, getting them in church, and having them get in the Bible, understand what the Word of God says, because you know, that's the only way out of this. Kevin Shipp, we appreciate your time tonight and hope you enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And that was Kevin Shipp there, folks. We do appreciate him tuning in to the program. And I am still here with Peter Reddick for, I guess you could say, a cool down period for a few minutes before we go off the air. Peter Reddick, your reaction to that interview?
Again, it's, I mean, he's a, I mean, I've, having spoken to him previously and again tonight, he's just so full of information. And I think it's something that everybody could and needs to take in and really, you know, realize that we are living in a dark and biblical world, and we need to be prepared. We don't need to be going through the world blindly. We need to, you know, be cautious.
Right. Well, folks, if you tuned in last week to the program, and this is not going to be the topic every single week, in case you're wondering. I do try to change it up, but it just happens to be what I talked about the last couple of weeks here. But anyway, last week I got into the theology in deep when it comes to the theology of all this and what the Bible says about the New World Order, what the Bible says about globalism itself. Proof that it does tell us there is a one world government coming, that there is a one world religion coming, that there's a one world banking system coming. And I went through the theology of that, tons of scripture and Revelation, Daniel, etc., comparisons. We say it in Steadfast Jacksonville, we say bars. Okay. And I'm sure most of you have no clue what that even means. But anyway, you know, I went through that. This week, what I wanted to do is just show you how all of that is being manifested, even today, from somebody who was on the inside, who came out of it, giving you his perspective. And I thought it was very interesting. Now, you know, I do think what he said about just how much they hate Christianity, Peter, that's something you and I, we know that. We know they hate Christians. We know they hate you. They hate me. They hate our families. They hate our guts. And it's not just the people on top. It's some of these brainwashed minions, everyday folks who've rejected God, who hate the Bible. Some of them are even reprobate. The way that they look at us with utter contempt and disdain, Peter, I think it tells us that the elite are going to enable many people to begin to act violently against Christians one day. And I think this is why Jesus said that many will be offended and shall hate one another. And, you know, it also says in Matthew chapter 24, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. There's going to be a lot of violence. There's going to be a lot of sorrow, you know, and you know what Jesus said when it comes to the wars, rumors of wars and all the rest of it, that it's just the beginning of sorrows. And I don't say this to just be doom and gloom, Peter, but at the same time, I think it's important for a podcast like this, for people to listen to a podcast like this, I should say, so that they're ready, so that they're vigilant, so that they know that we're not just regurgitating empty talking points here. None of this is just innocuous. We're not doing this to inflate our own ego. We're not doing this because we're just trying to get views on YouTube or try to make ourselves look smart. We're doing this because we love people and we want to warn them about what is to come and the only way out, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. I completely agree with that. And, you know, I will even say that it's not that it's going to happen. It's happening now. Right. I mean, we've seen this. We've seen I've seen firsthand what it's like when, you know, you have to, when you're going soul winning and you see, you know, you have to watch out for the cops showing up, seeing if you're doing something wrong. You know,
exactly.
You know, things like that. I mean, it's happening. We Christians, they are facing persecution. I mean, I look at Pastor Anderson. He's been banned from, what is it, 32 countries now?
Yeah, and counting. And our documentary is going to cover more about that.
They would not be trying to persecute. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the documentary is going to cover more about that.
They would not try to be persecuting us. They would not be persecuting us so much if we were not preaching the truth.
Right. And look, you could go join your little political group all you want, and you could listen to Alex Jones all day, and you could obsess over this kind of thing on social media all you want, but none of it is going to – it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. So you might as well get as many people saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit as possible, because the more people who are saved, the less people will take the mark of the beast, because a prerequisite to receiving the mark of the beast will be bowing down to the abomination of desolation. And Jesus Christ said, there shall be false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, implying that it's going to be impossible for those who are saved, who have the Holy Spirit inside them, to be deceived by the deception of the Antichrist. Therefore, the more people who believe the gospel, the less people the devil will have on his side when we see the tribulation come to pass. So going out, soul winning, and getting plugged into your local church is the most important thing we can do. It's the only way we can fight back against the satanic New World Order agenda. If you're thinking in your mind, man, some of the things that Kevin Shipp talked about on this podcast sound absolutely horrific. We brought up the WikiLeaks emails. We brought up some of the dark satanic perversion going on behind closed doors in the darkness by wicked, reprobate, evil elites who run the world, the globalists who run the world. And you think that sounds horrifying. Well, then what's our response to that? To just cry about it? Is our response going to be just sit on our hands and do nothing? No. Our response should be grab your nearest King James Bible and go out and knock some doors and implore people to come to church, because the more people we can get plugged in to that, the more people will wake up. And so, Peter, it was a pleasure to have you on. And obviously, you know, people might give me some crap because Kevin Shipp is definitely pro-Trump, but, you know, give me a break, okay? I'm allowed to have people on that I don't necessarily completely politically align with, so if that bothers you, I don't know what to tell you. Go ahead, Peter. Any last words before I go ahead and close it? Hello. Earth to Peter.
Sorry, I
think you're lagging. It's okay.
Thank you very much for having me on here. It's, as always, it's an honor and a privilege. I know I'll be on here. Huge. I love the opportunity, any chance I can, to get on here to be with you guys.
Yeah, you'll be back. You'll be back. You'll be co-hosting with me again sometime soon, Peter. You better learn to get along with me, my friend, since I'm working with you on this film. We better slowly become best friends here over the next few months.
I think we'll become more than best friends. So.
All right. Great. You hear that, Marcel, if you're listening?
We'll be like brothers in Christ.
Like brothers in Christ. I thought we were. Are you doubting my salvation here?
We are.
All right. I'm just being silly.
No, sir.
Just being silly. All right, Peter, it was a pleasure to have you on. Thanks again for your time. And folks, if you're wondering who that is, I probably didn't do the best job in introducing him earlier. It is a documentary filmmaker who is going to be contributing. He already has. He's gotten so much footage already when it comes to this documentary, Censored, The War on Free Speech. I am the editor of the film, and I look forward to continuing to work on it as we inch closer and closer to its release date. We'll have more interviews as we get closer to the release date of the film, Censored, The War on Free Speech, as we hype this movie. It's a very important movie, and if you enjoyed the podcast tonight, you make sure when this movie comes out that you watch it and share it with everyone you know. Peter, I think it's okay for me to speak for you in this instance. We want the film to go viral. So that's it for the program tonight. I want to thank everyone for watching. Make sure that you subscribe to youtube.com/BenTheBaptist. I know that the original videos throughout the week that I've done on doctrine have been scarce lately, but I will try to put more of those out every week. But I know for sure that I'll be doing this podcast every single Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central. Don't miss a single episode. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts and the Stitcher Radio app. Until next time, for Peter Reddick, Kevin Shipp, this is Benjamin Naim signing off. We love you. We thank you for your support. God bless you. And as usual, I'll end like I always do by saying this. I'll talk to you guys again.
Awesome. So we're offline. Hey, are you able to hear me?